Well, it's family worship week, and I'm so glad the kids are here. Kids, hi. Guess what I have for you after church today? Fun dip. Oh, yeah, baby. Fun dip. Like, what's better than a candy stick dipped in sugar, right? Colored sugar. But you're only supposed to take how many, kids? How many are you supposed to get? One, right. Get one so that we make sure we have enough for everybody. I think there's even enough for you to get a fun dip if you want. So there's 48 in there, so hopefully we have enough total. So we're finishing up our series on alignment this week, alignment 4. And I only have one alignment for you today, just one. You know, Dave started out with one. Remember the lion? Oh, I love that. I'm still saying it. And then I gave you 3 the next week and then 2 the next week. And today I only have 1 for you. I put on Facebook, how many of you are used to living from crisis to crisis? I mean, we're kind of wired that way somehow. We kind of tend to lean towards living crisis to crisis. But today, the declaration I want to give you, I felt really inspired by God to give you, was that it's time for us to live glory to glory instead of crisis to crisis. It's time. It is time. So I'm going to read the blessing over you first, and then I'm going to talk about it a little bit. I declare a blessing over you, that God will transform you with ever-increasing glory into His image. You will see Him as He is. You will represent Him as He is. You will walk and breathe in His presence like never before, moving from glory to glory. That's good. Because I think it's time for us to stop moving from crisis to crisis. Well, I had this horrible thing happen. Now I have this horrible thing coming. I'm in the middle of this horrible thing. And God says, look, it's time to move to a new place where you can live from glory to glory. Now, what does glory mean? It basically means the ability to accurately reflect the image of God. It means to shine forth His light. That's what it means. In Isaiah 41, 17 through 20, it says this. When the poor and needy search for water and there is none, and their tongues are parched from thirst, then I, the Lord, will answer them. Obviously, these people were living in a big crisis. They were living in a big crisis. When the poor and needy search for water and there is none, and their tongues are parched from thirst, then I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will never abandon them. You are never alone. I will open up rivers for them on the high plateaus. I will give them fountains of waters in the valleys. I will fill the desert with pools of water. Now, He's talked about the high places. He's talked about the low places. He's talked about the dry places. Notice that. Rivers fed by springs will flow across the parched ground. I will plant trees in the barren desert, cedar, acacia, myrtle, olive, cypress, fir, and pine. Have you ever seen a pine tree growing in a desert? Not me. But God, in His supernatural ability, can do that. He can plant in the driest season of your life. When I pray, I don't feel anything. Well, just keep praying. Because He will plant in the driest places of your life. I am doing this. Why? So all who see this miracle will understand what it means, that it is the Lord who has done this, the Holy One of Israel who created it. As I was praying about that this week, I felt like God wanted to really bring glory into our lives in 3 different areas. And those of you who are in the class with me, the LDP class, some of this is borrowed from bits and pieces of that. So you'll hear it, but that's all right. If it's good, might as well use it, right? And they gave us permission to do that. They said, pastors, you have material for the next 12 months in this class. That's pretty cool. But the first way that I felt like God wanted to really take us out of crisis mode and into glory mode was in relationships. In relationships. Some of us have spent our entire lives in short-term relationships. Our lives behind us are a series of burned bridges. Every boss we've ever had, we thought we could do that job better than they did it. And so we don't stay there long because we could do that job better than they can do it. And God wants to move us out of that place into a place where we have long-term relationships. Long-term, healthy, thriving relationships. He wants us to move from glory to glory in our relationships. He doesn't want us to burn bridges behind us. He wants us to move from glory to glory. In Proverbs 25:2, it says this. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. Now, I love that scripture because this is what I imagine. When I was a little girl, we used to have the best Easter egg hunts ever. Like, it was like you see on TV, but we didn't dress up. We just got comfortable and went diving for Easter eggs. And the Easter eggs could have candy in them. They could have money in them, all sorts of treasures. They could have a number in there where you won a big, massive prize that wouldn't even fit in the Easter egg. And then I remember the year, pardon my voice, it's one of those things. I'm beating bronchitis right now. It is not beating me, I'm beating it. So, with God's help, I am. I remember the year when I went from searching for treasure to hiding the treasure. Do you ever remember that year? Does anybody remember doing that? When you went from the one looking for the Easter eggs to the one hiding the Easter eggs. And I don't know which I enjoyed more. I really don't know. Because I love hiding them too. It is so fun to hide them. Of course, every year I would end up hiding one where I forgot where I hid it. And then we'd find it weeks, months later. Do you ever do that? Yeah, ants all in it. God takes great pleasure in hiding treasures, not in places. You know where he hides treasures? In people. He hides gems in people. That's what he does. And there's not a single person in this room that I couldn't understand a piece of God's treasure from. Not a single person. Part of my greatest joy as a mom is finding treasures in my kids. What do you mean by treasures? I mean when they find something they love and they're good at it. When they go through something that's hard and they come out better on the other side. Those are treasures to me. And if we're going to move from glory to glory in our relationships, we have to start looking for treasures and stop looking for dirt. It's not going to happen any other way. Because I promise you, you could take any single person in this room and one person could find dirt in them and one person could find treasure in them. So the way we're going to move from glory to glory in our relationships is by searching out the treasures. Every single person in here has a piece of God that I could benefit from. God didn't put all of his pieces in me. He didn't put all of his pieces in you. He goes, I'm going to spread them out. I mean, how fun would it be to go to an Easter egg hunt where all the eggs were hidden in one place? I mean, for one person, yeah, that's pretty good. Still a little boring. But God doesn't do it that way. He puts a treasure in, more than one treasure, in every single person. But it takes humility on our part, humility to position our hearts to say, I really want to find your treasure. I want to get to know you. I want to spend time with you, hear your story, because I know you have an experience that I could learn from. And it's so much easier to go, Not you. Not you. Taking you off my Facebook friend list. Not you. It's so much easier. It really is. It's a lot less messy. But it puts us in a position where we decide, I'm not going to receive from certain people. I'm just not. No matter. And I'm not talking about just Christians here, okay? Now this is going to rock some people's world. I'm talking about unbelievers have a treasure from God in them. They just don't know it yet. What does it say? Jesus died for us when we were still sinners. He loved us while we were still sinners. I just want to be that way. I want to meet someone and know from the bottom of my heart that they have a treasure from God in them, whether they're a Christian or not. And I want to find out what it is. Because I can benefit from it. That's how we move from glory to glory in relationships. But again, that requires humility on our parts. Some of us, the longest term relationships we have are those where we have the upper hand. We're superior. That is not healthy. Every single one of us need to have people we are mentoring and loving, and every single one of us need to have people who are speaking into our lives and we position our hearts to receive from them. Every single one of us. The second glory that I think God wants to do is the fruit of the Spirit. I think He wants us to move from glory to glory in the fruit of the Spirit. And some of us, we have taken this list, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we've looked at that list and we've gone, oh, I really got to work on patience. I am so bad at patience. God, please help me to have more patience. Well, most of you know better than to pray that, because then you get trouble. No. But what we do is opposite of what I think the Lord wants us to do. It's completely reversed. I don't think He wants us to take that list and see where we fall short. I think He wants us to take that list and go, okay, Sandy, wherever you see kindness in your heart, that's because I put it there. So He wants us to look at the list and go, where do you see me evident in your life? And thank God for it. Sometimes I can be kind. Not as much as I would, but I can be kind. When I see that kindness in my life, God wants us to go, that's me. Because the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, honey. And you're the apple of my eye. That's what He wants us to do. The way we can move from glory to glory in the fruit of the Spirit is by recognizing what God has done in us. Now, I'd already prepared this message, and yesterday I was reading, and I came across this. So I want to share this cool quote with you. If I can keep my voice. This is really awesome. It's talking about declarations, actually, and how sometimes we're uncomfortable with saying these declarations if they're not true in our lives. So this is awesome. It's from a book by Steve Backlund. It says, an apple tree will produce apples because of what it is. When it is young, it will have no apples, but it still must say, I'm an apple tree. When it is winter and there are no apples, it still says, I'm an apple tree. Is it lying at those times? No, it would be lying to say anything different. Many Christians have a hard time saying who God says they are when no fruit is manifesting in that particular area. Could they be too young in the truth to be fruitful? Possibly. Could they be in a season where that dimension of the Christian life is being pruned back for future growth? Thank you. Either way, it does not mean they are lying when they say, I'm anointed, prosperous, delivered, healed, righteous, strong. No. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. We don't deny the fact of weakness, but we focus on the greater truth that we are strong in Him. You see, I have a choice. I can focus on the fact that I'm struggling with my voice right now, or I can focus on the fact that I am beating this thing through the blood of Jesus. I have a choice. And because the word says we are these things, we would be untruthful to say anything different. Let's not lie against the truth. Instead, we are who the Bible says we are. Everybody said. The way to go from glory to glory and fruit of the Spirit is by recognize it when you see it, recognizing it when you see it, and then know that even if you're struggling with self-control, let's say, it's there because you are an apple who doesn't fall far from the tree, and your Father has put it in you, and one day it will manifest. That's all it is. It will. Then he wants us to move from glory to glory in the gifts of the Spirit, I believe. Those are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I really don't want to go through them very much today. And for the record, I don't think that's a finite list. I think that's just, here's some things the Spirit might do. It's a gift of the Spirit in you. They're listed. There's wise advice or wisdom. There's special knowledge. There's great faith. The gift of healing, performing miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in unknown languages, and interpreting unknown languages. And I believe those are all gifts of the Spirit. And I think God wants us to grow in our understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. And he wants to pour them out on us and use us in those capacities. And the way we're going to do it is, the way we're going to move from glory to glory is being open to whatever the Spirit wants to do in you. Again, you have a piece of God's treasure that I don't have, that I need. He puts us together in families so that we can bless each other and minister to each other and help each other and encourage each other. That's why he does what he does. Glory to glory in relationships and the fruit of the Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit. Don't try not to corral God, you know, and say, God, you can do this in my life, but I'm drawing the line here. I don't want you to do anything more than that. Because you're rejecting the goodness of God is what you're rejecting because you don't understand it. But it's kind of funny. I don't know about you. When my kids were little, I learned early on that sometimes I would put something on their plate and they would make a funny face. Like, what is that? And I would tell them it was this vegetable or that vegetable or whatever it was, this meat or that meat. And I would have to expose them to that food numerous times before they would finally get the courage to taste it in some cases. And I think that's the way it is with the gifts of the Spirit sometimes. We're so afraid. And God says, hey, not only is this good for you, it tastes good. It always tastes good. Not with all vegetables sometimes. They don't, lima beans. I do not. Some of you might like them fine, great. I do not like lima beans. Not a big fan of Brussels sprouts either. Some of you I know love Brussels. I'm happy that you do. I celebrate it in you. Not me. Although I did have Rhonda's one time, and those were good. I think it's the way you cook them. She has an ability. I can't cook them. But every single thing, every single gift that God gives us is good. It tastes good, and it is good. Can it be misused? Of course. Of course. But you know what? I think we have to be willing to risk being wrong before we can fully walk in to the gift that God wants to give us. We have to step out of our little safe zone, our little comfort zone, and be willing to receive and be used in his gifts, even if it's like, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm hearing it wrong? 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the New International Version says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And you know what I thought of when I read this? This is so funny to me. I mean, it's weird. It's weird. You know what I thought of in my head? Calling all drama queens. Calling all drama queens. Now, you know what we've done? We've taken the word drama and we've made it negative. And there are people in this world who literally love passion. They're passionate filled people. They're very passionate. But because we've rejected their passion, they've turned all that passion into negativity. And we call them drama queens. And they are. But what if God made them to be the way they are? What if God made them to be dramatic and passionate, but that He wants them to turn that into glory to glory? Let's give them an outlet. Instead of saying, don't be that way, hey, you can be that way, but be that way this way. Turn it into glory to glory, because that's what I see in that passage right there, that God wants to increase. Oh, I love that. Ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Here's what it says in the Message. Same verses, couple added to it. In the Message, it says, whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. Oh, thank God. Some of us still think God is a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it. All of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. I'm not getting older, I'm getting brighter. I'm getting brighter. Now I have a choice. I can either come into agreement with what God says, or I can walk around all day saying, I'm sick of these wrinkles popping up on my face. No. We are getting brighter and brighter with His brightness. We are becoming more and more like Him the longer we live. Can you imagine when we're in our 90s? I have seen people who live that way. I have. I have seen it. I told you before, my mom used to take me to a nursing home. I went every week when I was in junior high and high school. And we would go once a week and we would just go around and visit elderly people. Then we would do a little service. My sister and I would play the piano and my sister and I would sing some songs for them. And then my mom would do a little teaching. And then we would go and say goodbye to everybody. It was just a moment to touch. And here's what I saw. People either get brighter and brighter as they get older, or they get nastier and nastier. And even from a young age, in my mind, I remember thinking, I want to be like that. I don't want to be, I mean, people would spit on you. I mean, they would get nasty. I'm not talking about people who lose it up here mentally, because that's excusable. I'm talking about people who are just mean, just nasty. Did they have a treasure of God in them? Yeah, they did. I couldn't find it, but it was there, I'm sure. But we have a choice. God says we get to get brighter and brighter and more graceful and more graceful and more filled with love and more filled with love every day that goes by. So here we go. Let's read this together. Ooh, read it like you believe it now. In 2015, God will transform me with ever-increasing glory into His image. I will see Him as He is. I will represent him as he is. I will walk and breathe in his presence like never before, moving from glory to glory. I believe it. I will live like I believe it. Amen. Now here's what we did. We put all seven declarations for 2015 on this page. So you can either, Ken, can you find somebody to help pass those out? You can either take that and cut it up and put them all over the place, because there's seven, one for every day. Or you can put them all, leave them all on the whole paper and put them somewhere where you can read them on a regular basis out loud. It's up to you, but I would encourage you to make these declarations part of your 2015 in some way. Because as I told you the first week, it is life-changing to come into agreement with what God says about you. It's life-changing. It changes the way I look at everything. Everything, it changes. And so I want to encourage you to be part of that. So I made it easy for you. Instead of you having to cut up your note page, and I just really made it easy for you. Put it all on one page so that you can have access to it. Did I make enough? Are there enough? Yeah, kid, youth, really, seriously, this will change your life. You know what I was thinking during worship before I turn it over? Is it Tim today? I can't remember. I'm so bad at that. I'm sorry. Before I turn it over to Tim, I was thinking during worship how many families we have in this room where three generations are present. How many? Can you just raise your hand if you have three generations present? I knew Gilmore's and Proper's. Anybody else? I think that is such a gift from the Lord to have generational blessings. Now, if you're sitting there like me and you don't have three generations, you have a choice. You can look at them and go, well, they're so lucky. I wish I hadn't. Nah, 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 nah. That's what you can do. Really? And then you miss out on the treasure that they have. Or you can say, I want to be part of that, so I'm just going to join their family. That's what I've done. That's what I've done. Midge has done it too. Yeah. I just love it and respect it so much. I'm like, I'm in. I'm just in. That's all. And they know any Christmas, they've told me, anytime you want to come, just come. I'm like, okay, I'm coming. It's a gift, you see. If we can just stop being jealous of each other and start seeing the treasure that's around us in each other, this whole place will be set on fire by the goodness of God. This whole place will be. So I just encourage you to do that. To look for the treasures in your kids. Look for the treasures in your spouse. Look for the treasures in your parents. And that is a hard one sometimes. I know. Look for the treasures and see what God does with it. See what he does with it. Thanks for being such a great, patient group of people. I love you guys so much. Really, much, much, much love.